My name is David J. Harris, Jr. Join me and millions of Americans around the country as we embrace liberty and freedom. This is the David J. Harris, Jr. Show.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, friends and family from around the country and literally around the world. This is another episode with your host, David J. Harris, Jr. And today, friends, I have the honor and the privilege of having one of the baddest dudes on the planet on my show today. The Iceman, as he was known in the UFC, Chuck Liddell. He made a habit of putting people in their place, putting them on the ground, knocking them out. I'm telling you, this is one bad dude, but he's humble and he loves this country. He loves President Donald Trump. We just were both at the recent UFC and got to talk with him. Going to show you a clip from that today. But this guy, he knows what's going on, and I love his heart. I love what he stands for and represents. So really quick, if you love the David J. Harris Jr. Show and you want to support me, get over to davidharrisjr.store and check out the merch I got. Dare to Stand Against Critical Race Theory. We're going to get into that today. We need an army of people that are wearing something like this that engages a conversation to make people understand exactly how evil and divisive critical race theory is. So check it out. Get over to davidharrisjr.store to check that out. All right, without further ado, my special guest, the Iceman, Chuck Liddell. Chuck, my brother, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother?
I'm amazing, man. I'm so, you know, even with all the chaos that's going on in the world, because I've got faith and I believe that God is not done with this country, and I love this country and so many patriots do, I still have peace and, you know, I'm riding the wave, man. How are you handling the chaos that's going on in our country right now?
You know, I kind of have the same kind of feeling. I mean, I think it's going to keep pushing forward and we're going to get through it. You know, it's a struggle. Every so often we're going to have big struggles and this is a big struggle. It's time to fight.
Yes, it is. And you know all about fighting. How many years were you in the UFC?
I was in the UFC from 98 to 2010.
Man, so, that's a good long time. Yeah. And you were champion. You got the belt. How many times did you get the belt?
Only about five times. Five-time champion. I'm a Hall of Famer. I had a good career. I had a fun time. I enjoyed all of it.
I was talking to one of my good friends that's a pastor down in Los Angeles, Sean Bowles, and he messaged me and he said, man, Chuck Liddell was always one of my favorites. You know, you fought with class. You went out there. You handled your business. You weren't all talk. You backed it up, but you still were very classy, and I always honored and respected that about you, brother.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I mean, yeah, I think they get a little overboard nowadays trying to sell the fight. Sometimes cover some stuff. I'm like, come on. You know, they cross the line a little bit, but it is what it is, I guess. That's the marketing of today, you know.
As far as some of the fighters, before we get into some of the other amazing things that I've seen you been a part of lately and some things that you're launching here just within the next 2 weeks, as far as class goes in the UFC, where do you think some of the fighters are missing it with their, or is it just all for show just to try to sell tickets? What's your inside scoop on that?
You know, I think it's that new media thing. Everyone's trying to, I mean, it's selling tickets. A lot of guys are doing it you can tell they're just doing it to go over the top. And, you know, I think Chael Sonnen was a big, big one of that. I mean, honestly, I would just make fun of him because he's a great guy. I like him. But you make fun of him where he go, I'd say like, oh, he's a boring fighter. So he has to get fight somehow. I mean, he can beat guys, but he's old school, like a lay and pray and just kind of barely beat guys. So it wasn't that exciting to watch. So he had to make that WWE kind of persona. But you know, he was one of those guys. Like I remember I did an interview with him. on the same show on a different days, and so I was in the green room while he was talking trash about me out for the thing. And I was talking to his mom, who was a fan of mine. You know, we're in the back, and he walks in, and you know, he walks in the back right after you know saying a bunch of stuff about me. Comes in, and goes, "Hey Chuck, I teed it up for you if you ever want to fight." How are the kids?
Literally goes from talking a bunch of trash to, hey, brother, how you doing? How's the kids? Yeah, teed it up for you.
He never crossed any lines with me. But, I mean, I think some of the fighters nowadays, they cross some, like, there's lines. Like, I don't talk about a guy's family or his wife or, you know, that. I mean, religion is, I mean, it's just not, there's no reason to do that. You know, I mean, you could talk enough trash without getting into, you know, going so lowbrow, you know, but it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people, Conor McGregor took some heat for doing that. Of course, his leg was snapped. You know, this last fight that you and I were both at, his leg was snapped, and Rogan is sitting there interviewing him, and he immediately jumps on Dustin's wife, talking about Dustin's wife. It's like, come on, man, why you got to do that? But maybe he was out of his mind a little bit because his leg's broke.
Yeah, maybe. I don't mind that. Like I said, I don't mind building a fight. I mean, because Conor's the best at getting – one of the best at getting, you know, the people that don't really watch fights to watch fights. Because, you know, you have guys, hardcore fights are watching if you got good fighters. Then you got the kind of guys that watch occasional fights. And then you got guys that barely watch fights. Now, the guys you can get, the guys that barely watch fights are making the big money, right? Because they can bring in those people. So, and I think a lot of that, that's where the trash talking comes in and that stuff. But, you know, I think you still got to have that, you know, line, you know, don't cross certain lines.
Yes, well, I always appreciated and honored that and respected you for that, brother. So let's talk about this last UFC event, not the fight itself, but your opportunity to meet with the president. I've got a clip here. Heidi, your amazing bride, she reached out to me. She saw me right there with my phone. I was actually interviewing you. We were talking, and we saw the president walking towards us. we both, it's like, all right, you know, attention to the president, not us. Turned my phone off, turned the camera around, and started recording right as you walked out. And I got this amazing clip I want to share with everybody. And then we'll have you share what it was like to talk to him. And was this your first time talking to the president like this?
No, my second time talking, getting to talk to him. But first I was at an NRA event.
Sweet. Yeah, I know you're a big Second Amendment, love shooting. We appreciate that about you as well. All right, here's the clip.
You have goals. Reach them fast with IU Online's accelerated degree programs. Our 6 and 8 week courses are taught 100% online and can fit any schedule. Advance your career with a bachelor's in psychology. It only takes 10 minutes to apply. Earn an Indiana University degree that's valued around the world. Get started today at IU Online.
What did he whisper to you right there at the end?
He just said, he said, okay, thank you. He was asking me fight questions. I was happy to help him. But, I found out he might be coming. I got a leak that he might be coming to the fight. When I met him the first time at the NRA event, there was a last minute confusion with tickets and getting there. And we had to rush to get me to the event. And my wife couldn't make that flight. So she missed it. And she was been so bummed forever that she gets a chance to meet him. And so when I found out, I called Dana and said, look, man, anything you can do, I got to meet him with Heidi, you know, like she needs to meet him. And he said, man, I'll do anything I can do for you. They couldn't do it. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, he's walking. I'm like, you know, he's got the Secret Service on it. Cause they have all their protocols. So that's why we couldn't get back. I'm like, okay. It's worth a try. Here we go. Hey. So, you know, he looked back and recognized me, came back. I'm glad. I think he stopped because he had some fight questions. So I'm like, I was so glad. I'm like, okay, hey, can she get a pic? Can we get a picture? I'm like, he was great. You know, he let us do it. That was awesome.
So let me ask you this. How long have you been a supporter of President Trump? Did you know him before he ran for office and became the president?
I didn't know him before he ran for office. No. I had met him. I knew he'd been to some fights and met and but I hadn't been. I wasn't at those fights. Some of the earlier, what was it? What were they? What was the name of those fights? Forget the name. They were, darn it.
Early UFC fights.
No, before it was with they were competing with them. Clothing line that made a fight. Affliction. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Affliction was doing fights, and he was there a couple times, and I'm like, oh man, it would have been nice to meet him, but yeah, now that you know, I became a fan when he started running for president.
So you were a fan, and were you open about that, or was it more your close circle of friends that you would share how you personally felt and believed?
Oh, I'm pretty open about anything I believe. Like I'm not really. I stay out of pushing politics with people and getting, cause I'm from the old day. I don't like getting in big fights with people, arguments, but I believe in letting people live and let live if you want, you know, but it's gotta be a give and take there, you know, like you can't tell people one thing. You have to do this. Cause I believe this. So you have to do what I want you to do, but then you don't, you know, what if I believe this? I want to do this. Is that okay? You know,
right.
It's that one-sided.
So how do you think that he was as president? You think he did a good job? What'd you like about
him? I did a great job. I voted for him twice, so I thought he was doing a great job, and I definitely, definitely think he was the best. He would have been the best choice for the second time, but it is what it is.
So on the flip side, now that Biden has his hands on the reins, or at least some people think he's just a puppet. I personally believe he's a puppet. I think he has a hard enough time trying to rub two sentences together. And from falling upstairs to,
I have a buddy that's a big fan, and I met Biden behind, when I did a get out and vote thing in Reno back way back when he was running for vice president. And I met him in the back, and he was a, you know, good old boy. You know, he's exactly what you expect. You know, guy, he's a career politician, good old boy. The way you talked to him, but he was very lucid, very. He spoke well. He can complete sentences without a problem.
So you're saying from meeting him years and years ago to what you see now.
If anyone that thinks he's not in decline is, you know, they're kidding themselves. Look at all the stuff that you can see online anywhere. You know, come on, anybody, you just, okay, I didn't see that. I mean, you're just denying it. It's just like, I got nothing bad against him, but you can't. I mean, how do you say, oh, come on? It's funny. The only comments anyone ever makes, I'll say, look at this. How is he doing? How do you think he's doing? Look at this. Just watch this for me and tell me he's doing good.
And exactly.
And what they send me is a Trump meme. how's that an answer to the question?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I've shared this on my podcast and my show for up till the election, you know, for a year prior. I always said if for some Hail Mary chance of a reason Joe Biden got in office because of his cognitive decline that I believed is pretty evident, that it would probably be a year to 2 years tops before he had to take a back seat and then Kamala would take the reins. To me, that's pretty scary, if you know her background as a the DA in California locking up a lot of black folks over smoking weed. I mean, it's crazy to me that these two are in the Oval Office. It's another reason why you just got to take a breath, take a pause and pray.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
What What about CRT? Let's get over to this right here. Critical race theory, dare to stand against it and be bold enough to make a statement about it. What are your thoughts on critical race theory? Because from the president down, and again, that's why I'm very critical of the president, Biden and Kamala Harris. They're pushing this agenda. They want CRT in schools. And in my opinion, it's very divisive, teaching kids to judge others based on their skin color. What's your take on critical race theory?
You know, my dad, I read something the other day. I said, you know, how about just go in there and change black to white? In the critical race, they just change black to white. Change those words and read it. And then you tell me what you think.
Yes.
Okay. Just try that. Just that make it real simple for you. See how bad it is. It's real easy. You know, and you're teaching this to kids. You know, that you're trying to teach it to young kids that don't even know what color is. You know, they don't know. They know what color you are, but they don't know that means anything. Like, I was like, when the BLM thing happened, you know, I had explained to my daughter what black was. Like, she didn't understand. And like, I was telling her, well, you know, you're like your friend Darius, he's black, he's black. And your friend Elias, she's black. And your friend Darius is black. And Dad, no, Dad, you're wrong. Darius is brown.
Exactly.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, she has no idea which friends, you know, if they're Mexican or they're black or she just knows that's how they look. That's all it means to her. It has nothing to do with who they are to her.
Yeah.
Why do you want to teach them that? Why do you want to? Exactly. Hey, they're different. You're different. They should be treated this way. You should be treated that way. Isn't that what we don't want? I always want everyone treated equal, right? Everyone treated the same.
Judge people based on the content of their character and their actions. If somebody's mean to you, right? If somebody's demeaning or they're a bully, then judge them for their actions. But don't judge them based on the color of their skin, the amount of melanin they have in their skin. It's evil. I think your daughter put it exactly right. Most kids, I think that's probably par for course for most kids. They're not looking at everybody else based on their color, but that's exactly what CRT wants to do. So what should we do with critical race theory, Chuck?
We need to definitely KO that. Knock it out. Get rid of it. It needs to be gone.
Knock it the heck out. Yeah. All right. What about this vaccine issue? So many people are on the fence. Now they're literally going door to door. I saw a video this morning where from the Biden administration, Jen Psaki, they said they're going to start going door to door, and they're going door to door with the vaccine to literally vaccinate people at the door. What's your take on all this vaccine craziness and hesitancy that's going on?
Door to door? I mean, that's insane to me. Like, you come, like, it should be a choice. That vaccine's always been a choice. You know, you go somewhere, you want to go get them. If you want to get a vaccine that is experimental, go ahead. It's up to you. It's your choice. If I don't want to, it's my choice, right? I got COVID back in October. I found out because I was traveling. That's the only reason we even got the test, and I had no symptoms. I had no idea. So I went and then tested plenty negative times since then. And so I don't know why I would even think about getting a vaccine for something that didn't have that little effect on me. But I mean, and the whole thing about it's an experiment, as I understand it, it's experimental vaccine. It's been passed emergency. It's not even FDA approved.
Nope. And the pharmaceutical companies can't be held liable for any damage done to a person's body if something goes wrong.
Don't get me started. But it's like, you're a guinea pig. You want to be on? We can do anything to you. You can't get, if we hurt you, we can't, nothing's going to happen. We can't tell us. So yeah, no thanks. It's just crazy. Like I actually went in for a physical today, and my doctor was like, he's really, I mean, asked me like, probably 10 different times in different ways. Like, well, do you want to do it? See if you have a test. If you have the antibodies, would that make a shit difference? Would you maybe get the vaccine then? Like, I mean, I was like, dude, I said, I when you asked the question the first time, I said, no. That's the only time, that's the main time. And then you asked the second time now, I said, no, again. Now you're being rude. Quit asking me.
Does he not know who you are? Because he doesn't sound like he's afraid to get knocked out.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I'll make that decision on my own. I don't need you pressuring me to do stuff. It's not, I'm not cool. But yeah, I don't know. Everybody, you know, people, it is what it is. You know, I don't know if they start making it more like harder for people to get into, to go do things and do stuff. I think more people start taking it. I just think it's experimental, and I don't want to be an experiment.
Yeah.